Good morning. Today's daf in Pesachim is daf Nun Hey. We're starting in the Mishnah on Nun Dalam Beis. More minhagim. Malkum shenagu lasos malacha b'tisha b'av osim. There are those who have the minhag of doing malacha on Tisha B'av. Malkum shenagu shelo lasos malacha ein osim. But if you live in a community where they don't do work on Tisha B'av ein osim, so then you don't do work. V'chol malkum tamid chacham and betelim. Now, if you're tamid chacham, so you should abstain from doing work on Tisha B'av, even if you are gainfully employed, but you should take the day off. Now, by words of introduction, we know that Tisha B'Av is a fast day, obviously, but it's a day that was instituted by the Chachamim, meaning it's a Din D'Rabbanan. There's no Issur Malacha. There's no prohibition of doing work on Tisha B'Av. It's not like Shabbos. It's not like Yom Tov. It's not like Yom Kippur. So, but nevertheless, on Tisha B'Av, you're not because it's such a mournful day and such a sad day, and the Chachamim instituted that really your day should be dedicated to mourning. So therefore, there are certain communities that just simply did not go to work, and so therefore, again, minug. If you're living in a community where the community just doesn't go to work, so you shouldn't go to work. If you live in a community where the community does go to work, so then you can go to work. And but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's point is that, I'm sorry, we didn't get to that yet. So, but the Mishnah says, but if you're Tamei Chacham, so you should be Batal, meaning you should at that point in time, even if you're living in a community where it works, you should take the day off. Fine. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amar Lo Olam Yaseh Adam Atzma Tamei Chacham. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you could pretend like you're Tamei Chacham. Even if you aren't exactly the caliber of a Talmud Chacham, but nevertheless, on Tisha B'Av, if you want to take the day off of work, even though everyone else is going to work, and what excuse do you want to call in? You want to call in to your employer and say, you know, I'm a Talmud Chacham, I need the day off, so it's Tisha B'Av, so you could do that. Of course, assuming your employer is fine with that, but you could do that. That's the Mishnah. Now, Amar Shmuel, so we jump right into the Gemara, Ein Tanit Sibur Bebavel, Ela Tisha B'Av Bilvad. The only Tanit Sibur that takes place in Bavel is only Tisha B'Av. Now, what exactly does that mean? Right? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here gives us a context to understand the statement of Shmuel, because out of context, it really can be taken out of context. Let's not take it out of context. Let's take a look at Rashi, the first Rashi in the Gemara. Ein Tanit Sibur Bebavel, Hove Ein Tzrichin LeGeshamim. Look, in Bavel, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael, you don't need rain. Right, Bavel's right in the Fertile Crescent. It's you have the Tigris, you have the Euphrates River. There's no need for rain in Bavel. The desperate need for rain is in Eretz Yisrael. As we know, in Eretz Yisrael, you only have one rainy season. It starts basically after Sukkot. It ends around Pesach time, and that's it. That's your rain. So in Eretz Yisrael, the Masechet Tanis, we're going to be discussing this at length. If there is no rain in Eretz Yisrael, right, and you're moving now past Sukkot and now into Cheshvan, and God forbid, you're already now in Kislev and there's no rain. So what the Chachamim instituted was a number of fasts. Each series of fasts would get more intensive and more chamor until you get to the point where it's like a Tanit Sibur. It's a public fast day where nobody's going to work, all right, it's very serious. So, as Rashi points out over here, this statement of Shmuel that the only Tanit Sibur in Bavel is only Tisha B'Av. So again, let's go back to the Rashi. Holvein Tzrichin LeGeshamim Im Gozim Al Davar Acher. In Chomer Tanit Sibur No Heg Bo. So any fast day that was instituted, all the chomers of that fast day are not going to be kept in Bavel. Lechol Mibo Yom V'Leisar B'Malacha. Meaning the these public fast days, you'd already stop eating from the night prior, and on these public fast days, nobody would be going to work. There'd be Nisr Malacha. V'Shar Chomer HaAmurim Shaman. There's other chomers over there. When we get to Masechet Tanis, we'll go over it. So in other words, in Bavel, we'll fast, but not with all the stringencies that they would do in Eretz Yisrael, except for Tisha B'Av. Meaning in Bavel, outside of Eretz Yisrael, Tisha B'Av is the only day where it's the full fast day. We start fasting in the evening. I don't want to say an Isser Malacha, but there's this idea that you shouldn't go to work on Tisha B'Av. So, okay, so that's the only day outside of Eretz Yisrael where you're going to be seeing something similar to a public fast day. By the way, the other days of the year that we fast, meaning Asar B'Teves or coming up some Gedalia, right? That's not a time in Sibur. That's not. It's not a. It doesn't have the same status as a public fast day. We eat the entire night prior. We can eat up until up until dawn. We can do work the whole day. That's not a time in Sibur. It's a quasi fast day. But we're talking about the full 25-hour fast day. So again, in Bavel, Tisha B'Av is the only thing we're going to experience. Obviously, by the way, with exception to Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur is not part of the discussion. Yom Kippur is a din d'oraisa. Now, l'memra d'sav Shmuel Tisha B'Av b'nash masha shalo aser. Now, it sounds like from the statement of Shmuel that on Tisha B'Av, the b'nash masha's period is aser. Now, we know b'nash masha's is that twilight period where we don't know if it's day or we don't know if it's night. Okay, it's a it doesn't last that long. According to the Gemara, it lasts for 13 minutes and change. Okay, but nevertheless, and let's just, for our purpose of our discussion, let's keep it really simple. Let's assume the Beinash Mashas period starts at sunset, okay, which subject to a machlokus, but for our purposes, let's just keep it like that. So in other words, from sunset until about 30 to 13 minutes later, so we're in this twilight period, in this Beinash Mashas period. It's not day, it's not night, it's suffix, or it's somewhere in between. Now, if the fast day is a din d'oraisa, like Yom Kippur, for example, so it's a no-brainer. Obviously, once the sun sets, we don't eat. Meaning because, even though it's a suffix, but we're talking about a suffix on a din d'oraisa. So, of course, we're not going to eat on Yom Kippur. So, Yom Kippur, one can already imagine that there's nothing to talk about. But now, let's talk about Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a din d'rabbanan, right? As is a Tanit Sibur. It's also a din d'rabbanan. But on Tisha B'Av, one could make the argument, you could at least hear the argument, that I don't have to stop eating at sunset, meaning because even after sunset, it's suffik. It's not definitely Tisha B'Av, it's perhaps Tisha B'Av, and we're going to be in that state of suffik for the next 13 minutes and change. So the argument you could hear, although we're going to end up rejecting it, but the argument that we can make is that you can eat on Tisha B'Av even during the Beinash Mashas period. That's the argument you could make. From Shmuel's statement, it sounds like that the Beinash Mashas period of Tisha B'Av is going to be Aser. V'hamar Shmuel Tisha B'Av Beinash Mashas Shalom Mutter. The Gemara says the problem is that Shmuel says that it's Mutter. And why would Shmuel say it's Mutter? Very simple. Because, what are the reasons we just explained? Because Tisha B'Av is only a Din D'Rabbanan. And so therefore on a Suffolk Din D'Rabbanan you can eat. So we're a little bit stuck because we have Shmuel giving us what seems to be now contradictory viewpoints on whether you can eat during the Beinash Mashas period of Tisha B'Av. V'chitei makasav Shmuel kol tanit sibur Beinash Mashas shel mutar. Now maybe there's no consistency in Shmuel. Maybe Shmuel's super consistent, meaning by any tanit sibur he'll allow you to eat during the Beinash Mashas period. The Gemara says, yeah, but it doesn't seem to be true. V'hanan tanan ochlim v'shos mi ba'od yom. So the Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah Tanis, that you're allowed to eat and drink mi ba'od yom while it's still day. Lemute my lav lemute benash mashos. So the meaning that when you have to stop eating, sounds like from the Mishnah Tanis, you have to stop eating once it's no longer day. Meaning once the sun sets, even though we're in the Beinash Mashas period. So the Gemara says, no, lo lamute mechashecha. No, maybe all the Mishnah means over there is that once it's night, once it's definitely night, you have to stop eating, but the Beinash Mashas period, you're allowed to eat. So again, let's just quickly, let's regather, let's see what we are, where we're at this point in time in the Gemara. The Gemara right now, based our Mishnah talks about working on Tisha B'Av. But then the Gemara moves the discussion to the actual fasting itself. Not the Issur Malacha on Tisha B'Av, but the actual fast itself. Shmuel says that the only real fast in Bavel is Tisha B'Av. Meaning we're not going to, by Tanit Sibur, even if they institute an Eretz Yisrael, we'll fast in Bavel, but not with the same degree of severity. Okay. It sounds like from Shmuel that on Tisha B'Av, it's got to be the whole fast. Meaning even Beinash Mashas, got to fast everything. The Gemara, the problem with that is Shmuel says that you are allowed to eat during the Beinash Mashas period, at which point now the Gemara is suggesting that according to Shmuel, every fast outside of Yom Kippur, you're allowed to eat during the Beinash Mashas period. Okay, not only Tisha B'Av, but other fast days as well. Okay, so this is where we're at the Gemara right now. Name a misayele. So the Gemara suggests, look, let's try to bring a proof for this. Ein main Tisha B'Av liyama kippur melesh ezes feko asav ezes feko mutar. What's the difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? There is no difference, says the Mishnah, with exception to suffik. Now, in the case of suffik of Yom Kippur, fasting is it's going to be asar. In the case of suffik of Tisha B'Av, fasting is going to be mutar. Okay, now before we really right now we don't understand this, but before we understand it, look, here's what we basically know. Yom Kippur is a din d'oraisa. Tisha B'Av is a din d'rabbanan. and we know our basic rules. On a suffik d'oraisa, we're machmer. On a suffik d'rabbanan, we're going to be mako. So what the braisa says is that if I have a suffik regarding Yom Kippur, I'm going to be machmer. If I have a suffik regarding Tisha B'Av, I'm going to be mako. That's the outline of this Mishnah. Now the obvious question is, but what suffik are we talking about? That's the Gemara's question. My sfeiko, mutter, lav bein hashmashos. So ostensibly what suffik means is, look, every day starts with suffik. Every day starts with a bein hashmashos period. So ostensibly what that means now is that as I'm going into Yom Kippur, I have suffik. I walk into suffik. Okay, stop eating. Yom Kippur is a din d'oraisa. When I go into Tisha B'Av, I'm starting off with a suffik. That you can be makel. You can eat during the bein hashmashos period. So now what we have is essentially now a seeming support for the statement of Shmuel that during Tisha B'Av you're allowed to eat during the bein hashmashos period. Okay. Lo. The Gemara says, no, that's not the correct understanding of this Mishnah. Kedam Rav Shisha Bereid Rav Idi, L'kviya D'yarcha, Hachanam L'kviya D'yarcha. Nope, that's not the suffix we're talking about. We're not talking about the suffix of the Bein HaShemashah's period. We are talking about the suffix of Kviya D'yarcha. Okay, nowadays, right, for the last 1700 years, we have a fixed calendar, so it's hard for us to relate to this, but in the good old days, how did they establish the months? Based on the testimony of witnesses when they actually see the new moon. Now, there are two candidates to when you can see the new moon. You can either see it on the 30th or the 31st day of the month. Okay? Witnesses will come in and they'll testify, hi, we saw the new moon. Good. So every Rosh Chodesh can either be on day 30 or day 31. And then how is that information communicated? So we're going to get to Masechta Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to discuss it in detail how they would send out messengers across the lands to tell everybody this day was established to be Rosh Chodesh. Certain months, we absolutely needed to know which day was Rosh Chodesh. Any month that had a Yontif, we needed to know which was Rosh Chodesh. Tisha B'Av, or I should say rather the month of Av, we need to know which day is Rosh Chodesh because we need to know which day to fast. What day is the ninth day of Av? Fine. So now, essentially, what the Gemara is saying is, you know what suffix we're talking about? The suffix where we don't know which day was Rosh Chodesh. Now, if you take a look at Rashi over here, really interesting. Rashi says, Kviya D'Yarcha, Laso Shnei Yamim, Ki Mesafkalan Im Avru Based in Chodesh Avar Ilo. So Rashi says, let's say, for example, as a community, we don't know. We don't know when Rosh Chodesh was. So now, it's going to depend whether or not it's Yom Kippur versus it's Tisha B'Av. So if we're talking about Yom Kippur, and we don't know which day was Rosh Chodesh. Now, Rosh Chodesh of Yom Kippur happens to be also Rosh Hashanah, but we don't know. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is, do you know how many days of Yom Kippur you're going to have to observe? Two. And not just two, by the way, but two in a row. Right? 48 hours. So 48 hours of fasting. And if it's Tisha B'Av, not two, just one. Now, right, you can't bring it down to zero because that's just an absurdity. But in other words, even though it's a suffix, I guess we'll pick one. I don't know how we're going to choose, but maybe the first one. All right. However that works. But in other words, we'll pick one. One of the days will be observed as Tisha B'Av. Okay, that's what the Gemara is saying. That's the difference between suffix. Suffix on Yom Kippur, we're going to have to be machmir, meaning 2 days of Yom Kippur. Suffix of Tisha B'Av, we're not going to be machmir, we'll be mekel. Only 1 day of Tisha B'Av. Now, it's interesting. It sounds like from Rashi, I mean, Rashi essentially says it. It sounds like from Rashi, like there's this idea that we're going to do 2 days of Yom Kippur. If you take a look at Tosfos, third Tosfos on the Amud, L'kviya D'yarcha ain lefarish. Tosfos says, don't do what we just did, which is, we just explained the Gemara that we're going to observe 2 days of Yom Kippur. Ein lefarish kegon b'nei bavel she'en yodim masai hukva achodesh barat yisrael shayu tzrichem lasos yom ha-kipurim shnei yomim. Don't suggest that. That if we as a community don't know which day was Rosh Chodesh, we're going to observe 2 days of Yom Kippur. Gemara, Tosfos says that's not even in the discussion. How do I know that? Because of Perakam de Rosh Hashanah she'en osen ela yom echad. Because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which we'll get to later in the year, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that even us who don't know the months and aren't sure about the months, we only observe 1 day of Yom Kippur, right? Not 2 days of Yom Kippur. So the Ella, so the Gemara, so according to Tosfos, how do you explain the Gemara? Ella hachi perusho sfeiko aser im mistapik afilu beretz Yisrael ma'aseh hukva achorish kagon she mahalach b'midbar. Tosfos says that the Gemara only here is talking about an individual, not a community. But an individual who literally has no idea when Rosh Chodesh was, in other words, he can even be in Eretz Yisrael, but he's in the desert and he simply has no form of communication and he does not know when Rosh Chodesh is. So for that individual, also Beis Yamim Kidin Kol Sfeikos Daraisa. So for him now exists a real suffix, when exactly is Rosh Chodesh? So for him, he's going to observe 2 days of Yom Kippur. But Tosa says, but don't suggest that our Gemara is telling us that communities like Bavel, who don't know when exactly Rosh Chodesh was, they should be observing 2 days of Yom Kippur. Anyway. Okay? So again, let's come back now full circle to where we're at. So we are, the discussion that we're having in our Gemara is, are you allowed to eat during the Bein HaShemeshes period of Tisha B'Av? Shmuel says you are. Sounds like from the Braisa that we just learned that you are as well, because the Braisa says that during the Suffolk of Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to eat. So the Gemara says, no, that Suffolk is not talking about Bein HaShemeshes. That Suffolk is talking about where we don't know where Rosh Chodesh is. So you could be Mekel, meaning you don't have to observe 2 days of Tisha B'Av. You only need to observe 1 day of Tisha B'Av. Okay. Darash Rava. We're in the middle of Nandal Amud Beis. Okay, you're pregnant, you're nursing, so you got to fast on Yom Kippur, and you have to fast on Tisha B'Av. Meaning on other fast days, so there's a lot of room to be mekel. You're pregnant, you're nursing, so you're in the state of being a chola. But Yom Kippur though, Yom Kippur is a din d'oraisa. So even though you're pregnant, even though you're nursing, but you got to fast. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, same story. Meaning that the same requirement for these women to fast on Yom Kippur is true on Tisha B'Av as well. Even though Tisha B'Av is only din d'rabbanan, but nevertheless, though Tisha B'Av is basically given the same status as Yom Kippur, as we've been discussing. Ubein HaShemeshes shelo aser, and the Bein HaShemeshes period of Tisha B'Av is going to be prohibited. Unlike what Shmuel said, but here the Rava disagrees with Shmuel, and Rava says that you're not allowed to eat even during the Bein HaShemeshes period. And Rav Yochanan says the same thing as well. You're not allowed to eat during the Bein HaShemeshes period of Tisha B'Av. So in other words, on Tisha B'Av, when do you have to stop eating? Before sunset. So on the other hand, Rav Yochanan says that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tanit Tzibor, meaning the public fast is of Eretz Yisrael, so there you have to stop eating already during the Bein HaShemeshes period. It sounds like from Rav Yochanan that on Tisha B'Av, nah, you can even eat during the Bein HaShemeshes period. So my love of Bein HaShemeshes, isn't that what we're talking about? Lo la malacha. So the Gemara says, no, we're not talking about that, we're rather talking about malacha. So the Gemara says, really? I need Rav Yochanan to teach me about malacha of Tisha B'Av. Malacha tanina, makom shenagu lasos malacha b'Tisha B'Av osim, uva makom shenagu shelo lasos ein osim. What do you mean? I don't need Rav Yochanan to teach me about working on Tisha B'Av. I have a Mishnah. Once we have a Mishnah in place, what do I need Rav Yochanan for? And even the position of Rav Shimon Gamliel, which is, you know what, call in with the as the Talmud Chacham. All Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is telling us is, you know, generally speaking, you shouldn't be arrogant. And don't even appear to be arrogant. So to make the declaration that you're a Talmud Chacham, that I'm a Talmud Chacham, generally speaking, that shouldn't be done. But for the purposes of not going to work on Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, that's fine. It's lo mechzi ki yuara. It doesn't look like you're arrogant. Ava meser lo aser. But there's no iser to do malacha on Tisha B'Av. It's clear from our Mishnah. So now we go back. So when Rav Yochanan says that when Rav Yochanan says that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tanit Tzibor, so it can't be vis-a-vis malacha because we already know. There's no iser malacha on Tisha B'Av. Elamayinu ketanit tzibor l'tfilas ne'ila. So the Gemara says what it means is like this. On a tfilas tzibor, again, something that we don't know, we don't experience. Tanit tzibor is in Eretz Yisrael, and bizman ha-Gemara, they would institute these fast days. These fast days were taken very seriously. Again, we get to Masechet Tanis, we'll learn much more about it. But they would be fasting already from the night prior. There'd be an Isra Malacha. And furthermore, they would also have an extra davening. They would add an extra davening into the day. Well, we know it because it's Ne'ilah. Now, we only experience Ne'ilah one time a year, and that's on Yom Kippur. But Ni'ila was also added to the Tanit Sibur of Eretz Yisrael, to the public fast days. So all we mean is that Tisha B'Av, there is no Ni'ila. Public fast days, there is Ni'ila. The Gemara says, V'am Rav Yochanan l'halavai, she'ispal Adam v'holech kol yom kulo. Now, Rav Yochanan does make the statement, they made the statement back in Brachos, you know, it's good to daven all day, so, you know, on Tisha B'Av, you could daven an extra davening, but the Gemara notes very simply, ha'simcho v'hacha reshus. The Gemara says, yeah, but that means that you can voluntarily daven all day long. But as an obligation, Tisha B'Av, you're only obligated to daven Mariv Shacharis Mincha. On a public fast day, Mariv Shacharis Mincha and Ne'ilah. So, or another very basic distinction between Tisha B'Av and a public fast day is that Esrim Va'arba'ah. On a public fast day, they don't daven Shmon Esrei. They daven 24. Right, I don't know if they call it Esrim Va'arba, but in other words, there's an additional six brachas that are added into the Shmon Esrei, having to do with the fast and with the lack of rain and begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain. So in other words, that's another very basic difference. Tisha B'Av, regular Shmon Esrei, public fast day, Esrim Va'arba. Shmon Esrei made up composed of 24 brachas. Rav Papa Amar, my eno ketanit zibur, eno kirishonos, ela kaachronos ve'asura. Another proposal says the Gemara of Rav Papa. Maybe it's true. Maybe that the original statement of the equation of tanit zibur to a public fast day. Sorry. The equation of Tisha B'Av to a public fast day is vis-a-vis the Bein HaShemashos period. And maybe what was meant is that it's not like the earlier fast, but rather it's like the later fast. As I explained earlier, during the public fast days, it started off, the fast started off, generally speaking, tamer, meaning, right, it was only limited to Talmid HaChachamim, but it didn't apply to everybody. It only was for the day, it wasn't for the night prior. And then as the situation got more and more serious, so it included more people, and it was more, so the fasting itself was more severe. So maybe all we mean is that Tisha B'Av is not like the earlier fast days, but rather like the later fast days, which are, you have to fast the entire day, including the night prior, including the Bein HaShemashos period prior, and that's all we mean by that. Okay, Meisvei. We're now towards the bottom of the Amud. We're at the first wide line towards the bottom of the Amud, and continuing in this discussion, Ein Bein Tisha B'Av Liyom HaKippurim, Ela Shezes Feiko Aser, Vizes Feiko Mutter. Difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, again, it's very similar to what we already discussed. Yom Kippur, Suffolk is going to be Aser. Tisha B'Av Suffolk is going to be Mutter. What Suffolk are we talking about? My Sfeika Mutter La Bein HaShemashos Shelo. Aren't we talking about the Bein HaShemashos period? Which again would be supportive of Shmuel's position. Shmuel allows us to eat during the Bein HaShemashos of Tisha B'Av. I'm Rav Shisha Breder of Edi Lo Lekvi Di Archa. So again, the same answer that we said earlier this morning. No, we're talking about Kvi Di Archa. We don't know when Rosh Chodesh is, and because we don't know when Rosh Chodesh is, so for Yom Kippur, 2 days. For Tisha B'Av, only 1 day. And again, the same discussion of Rashi and Tosfos. Are we talking about a community? Are we only talking about individuals? Anyway, fine. Okay, sounds like, let's just now wrap up. Sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion, are we allowed to eat during the Bein HaShemashos period of Tisha B'Av? So it's a machlokas in the Gemara. Shmuel says that you're allowed to. Rav Yochanan and Rav say that you're not allowed to. The conclusion is, Allah is, you're not allowed to. In other words, on Tisha B'Av, you have to stop eating at sunset. Even though now you're only entering into the Bein HaShemashos period, it's only a suffik. It's only a suffik on a din derabanan, but still, we stop eating already from sunset on Tisha B'Av. And even though there is room to be more makel on Tisha B'Av, but not regarding the Bein HaShemashos period, regarding other halachas, like what we just learned in the Gemara, Kvi'a D'Archa. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, Halachol Devarim Zev Zeh Shavin. Okay. So now, outside of this, basically now, it's clear from our discussion of this morning that Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are basically analogous to one another. Right? Again, with exception to Suffolk, but outside of that, they are the same. Misayel, Rabbi Lazar, Damar, Rabbi Lazar, Asol, Ola Adam, Yishayoshid, Etzbab, B'mayim, B'Tisha B'Av, Kederach, Asol, Lahoshid, Etzbab, B'Yom HaKippurim. Now, in Yom Kippur, we know there's an Issur Rechitza. Same is true on Tisha B'Av. And not only is there an Issur Rechitza, but on Yom Kippur, we know You can't even dip your finger in water. Meaning, is there the... Now, I understood in the morning when you wash your hands, okay, that's a din, so you wash your hands only up to the knuckles, fine. But in other words, but outside of that, you're not allowed to wash your body. Even a digit on your hand, you're not allowed to wash. Same thing is true regarding Tisha B'Av. And again, the argument you could have made is, Tisha B'Av is only a din d'Rabbanan, we could be more makel. No. That whatever is true by Yom Kippur is going to be true by Tisha B'Av as well. Meizvei the Gemara challenges the same bein Tisha B'Av l'tanit zibra ela shezeh asa b'asiyas malacha v'zeh muta b'asiyas malacha b'makom shenago halachol divreim zeh v'zeh shavim. Now, the challenge is based on a brisa where the brisa says that Tisha B'Av is the same as Tanit Sibur. Not Yom Kippur, but Tanit Sibur. Now, again, with exception, in other words, you're allowed to do work on Tisha B'Av. You're not, for the communities that have the minhag where you're allowed to do work, you're not allowed to do work on a Tanit Sibur, but aside from that, they're the same. The ilu gabe Tanit Sibur, Tanya kisha amru asa b'rechitza lo amru ala kol gufo, ava panav yada v'ragav lo. Now, on a Tanit Sibur, you're not allowed to take a bath, but you can wash your body one limb at a time. So now we're confused, meaning in terms of the Issa Rechitza, is Tisha B'Av like Yom Kippur, or is Tisha B'Av like a Tanit Sibur? Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wash at all. Tanit Sibur, you're allowed to wash your body a limb at a time. So where does Tisha B'Av now seems to be somewhere straddled in the middle? So Lo Kasha, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Avapayav Lo. Amar Rav Papa, Tana Kule Kule Ketane. So Rav Papa to this says, basically, divide everything. What does that mean, divide everything? Look at Rashi, look at the top Rashi in Nunhei Amud Aleph. Rashi says, Kolhani Ein Bein Chad Tana Amrinu. Right, these Ein Beins, right, we just went through a series of Mishnahs that says there's no difference. There's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. There's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Tanit Sibur. So Rashi explains, it's one Tana, meaning don't try to find inconsistencies in these brisos. It's one Tana who said them all. And Rashi continues to write, V'kule kule nakad bereshe, hani ein bein Tisha B'Av, kal miyom ha-kippurim l'chadchila. Elish ha-zez feiko. Tisha B'Av is more lenient than Yom Kippur because by Yom Kippur, if it's a suffix, I got to observe both days. But that's not true on Tisha B'Av. V'seifa tani ein Tisha B'Av kal me tanit sibur ela le'inyan malacha. And Tisha B'Av is more lenient than the tanit sibur because on Tisha B'Av you're allowed to do malacha. Uvechumre dechame Tisha B'Av me tanit sibur lo airi. This one Tana who is noting the differences was only noting the leniencies. But in terms of chumras, in other words, he wasn't comparing Tisha B'Av to Tanit Sibur regarding all the stringencies. As far as the stringencies were concerned, no, Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur. Fine. Right, Rashi continues to write, Ayri hacha de tedek minez, if it's a shaven, ula ola minyan rechitza Tisha B'Av chamer. Tisha B'Av is just like Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wash at all on Tisha B'Av. Okay. So far, so good. Okay, conclusion is up until now. Okay, Tisha B'Av is a very serious fast day. The only leniency that we have on Tisha B'Av, basically only two leniencies. One is that on Tisha B'Av you're allowed to go to work. But again, the only proviso to that is you have to live in a community where the minhag is they go to work. So that's one leniency regarding Tisha B'Av. And the other leniency regarding Tisha B'Av is by suffix. You could be mako by a suffix, but what does that mean, suffix? So it's not talking about, although Shmuel would argue otherwise, it's not talking about the Bein HaShemashos period, but rather it's talking about where we don't know when Rosh Chodesh is. So therefore, by Tisha B'Av, you only have to observe one day of Tisha B'Av. Okay? But as opposed to Yom Kippur, where you have to observe, you're going to have to end up observing 2 days of Yom Kippur. Again, Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. But outside of that, though, Tisha B'Av is just like Yom Kippur. And regarding which halachas is Tisha B'Av like Yom Kippur, so we went over a lot of them. Number one, the fast day starts at sunset, just like on Yom Kippur. Actually, on Yom Kippur, you have to add a little bit more. There's an idea of Tosefes Yom Kippurim. On Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to wash your body just like on Yom Kippur, meaning you can't even dip your finger in water. On Tisha B'Av, women who are fasting women who are pregnant and nursing have to fast on Tisha B'Av just like they have to fast on Yom Kippur. So, essentially, with exception to a couple of kulas, Tisha B'Av is just like Yom Kippur. Okay. We're on the top of Nun Hey Amud Aleph. Now we are starting the next part of the Mishnah. V'chol Malkam Tamidei Chacham Alameim Adur V'Shem Gamliel Sever Lo Chayshina Le Yuara V'Rabbanan Sever Chayshina Le Yuara V'Aib Chashamina. Now, we're not talking about calling in sick to your employer. We're talking about calling in saying you're Tamei Chacham, right? So you say to your, again, assuming your employer is okay with it, and but you call in basically say, look, it's Tisha B'Av today. I'm a Tamei Chacham. I'm not going to go to work. Okay. Now, generally speaking, one of the worst midas to have as a Jew is arrogance. Right. The Rambam writes in Midos in terms of how to behave. He says all character traits. Yeah, I got to be somewhere in the middle. Right, you can't be too stingy, but you can't be too giving. Right, you got to be somewhere in the middle, and that's true regarding all midas. You can't be too happy, you can't be too sad. He says, but when it comes to the midah of gaiva and one other, and that is anger, and the midas of gaiva and kas, and the midas of arrogance and anger. So the Rambam says there, you want to be an extremist. You want to be all the way to the edge. Meaning, you want to have no anger and you want to have no arrogance. No anger is, not any anger is good, and not any arrogance is good. So the Rambam says, those are the two midas where we want to be all the way to the extreme. So now, here, you're calling your boss and you're saying, look, today I'm a Tamei Chacham. Okay, that's, right, and it may even be beyond arrogant, meaning, it's only arrogant if it's true. If it's not even true, it's beyond arrogant. It's like, it's like, okay, it's called the lie. Anyway, but still, we're not talking about actually being arrogant. We're talking about mechzei ki yuara, right? It looks like you're arrogant, meaning because you are claiming that you're a Tamei Chacham. So, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel obviously is not bothered by that. Obviously. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says any person can simply say, today I'm a Tamei Chacham. Not today, meaning on Tisha B'Av to stop working. I'm a Tamei Chacham. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not worried about it at all. That's the way it seems like from our Mishnah, and the Tanakhama, who doesn't subscribe to this idea, sounds like, no, he doesn't want people to just simply say, hey, I'm a Tamei Chacham. Either they are or they aren't. But no one can make the claim. To which now the Gemara says, it sounds like from the Mishnah in Brachos, just the opposite. Okay, Mishnah in Brachos. The Mishnah talks about Chasan, right? A groom on his wedding day. Im yirtza likros kriya shema laila rishon korei. Now, we know there's a mitzvah to say shema both in the morning and in the evening. The Chasan on the night of his wedding. So he's got a lot of things on his mind. Right? So it would be hard for him to say shema because he's got a lot on his mind. So the Tanakhama says, if he wants to, he could say Shema. Understood that he doesn't have to. Why wouldn't he have to? We have the principle of Osig b'mitzvah, Potter min ha-mitzvah. Because he's already in the middle of doing the mitzvah of getting married. And he's worried about Be'ilas mitzvah. So therefore, he doesn't have to say the Shema. But the Tanakhama says, if he wants to, he may. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amar, lo kol aros, litos ha-shem, yitol. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no. No, he's not. He's not going to say Shema correctly. He's not going to have the right kavana. No, don't say Shema. So, it sounds like now, let's try to see if we can line everybody up. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel seems to be doing an about face. Meaning, on Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you want to pretend you're Tamei Chacham? Fine. That's not a problem. What about the fact that it looks arrogant? Mechzei ki yuara? It doesn't seem to be, it's not a problem. But meanwhile, when it comes to the Chasan, Rav Shimon Gamliel says to the Chasan, you think you could say Shema with proper Kavana on the night of your wedding? No, forget about it. Don't do it. And even if you want to pretend, no, I don't. We're not interested in pretending. Meaning, don't say Shema. In other words, Rav Shimon Gamliel does not want anyone to look arrogant.
In regards to Kriyat Shema, there is no issue of appearance there. There's nobody witnessing it. Where the guy appears, to, you know, with working area, the Faris, everybody sees it, he goes to work.
It's funny. The Gemara is going to almost argue the other way. Well, okay, I hear your argument. The Gemara is going to basically go the other way on this. But, okay. So, Kriyat Shema, Laila, Rishon, Kareh, Shem, Gamal, Lo, Kol, Arutz, Litos, Hashem, Yito. So, I'm Rav Yochanan, Mukhlef, Hashita. So, Rav Yochanan says, you know, that's difficult. Switch it around. Switch around the shitas. The question always becomes which sheet gets switched around. So Rashi doesn't say. But anyway, switch around the Shita so that now, at least somewhere, we're going to have Rav Shimon Gamliel consistent. Where either here or there, he's either going to, whichever Shita we're going to switch around, either he's consistently worried about looking arrogant, or he's consistently not worried about looking arrogant. Okay. That is approach number one. Obviously, that's a radical approach because basically it means that one of the Mishnayos of the Brises were corrupted, and we have to switch it around. So Rav Shisha Bered, Rav Idi Amar Lo Tepach. So, and now the second approach, which is, no, leave everything intact, leave both the Mishnah and the Brises intact, and now Derabana, Derabana Lo Kashya, Hachakem Dekulam Avde Malacha, Viula Avde Mechzi Kiyura. Okay, Ben, this is essentially what you are arguing. Look, when it comes to the Chachamim, everyone's going to work, and you're not. That's arrogant. That looks arrogant because the card that you're playing is, you know why I'm not going to work? Because I'm a Talmid Chacham. That already looks arrogant. So that's an affront. Avahasim Kevin to call him a kari to you and not mikari lo mechzikiyura. As far as Shema is concerned, everyone else is saying Shema. All right, so you're going to say Shema as well. What's the big deal? It is a big deal because you don't have the right kavanah and you're saying Shema without the right kavanah. It is a big deal. But in other words, but you're doing what everyone else is doing. So there, we're not worried about looking arrogant. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Okasha. And we can also give a good defense on behalf of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which is, Hasamud to be inan kavanah. V'anan sahade, de lo matze kavne daite mechze kiyora. You see, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel can argue the opposite. When it comes to Shema, Like we know enough about human nature, it can't be on your wedding day you're really going to be thinking about Shema. Meaning too much on your mind right now. And good things, meaning a mitzvah. So there's no way you're going to have proper kavanah for Shema. So, and we know that. So therefore, if a chassan steps forward and says, no, I'm going to say Shema, that's arrogant. Because we know otherwise. Avahacha lo mechze kiyura. Now when it comes to going to work, Rav Shimon Gamliel could say, look, so you're unemployed. Okay. Anyone see the unemployment rates lately? So the Amre Malachu Deleisle Pok Chazi Kame Balani Ika Beshuka. Unemployment is not a new problem. Unemployment has been a problem for ages. So okay. So you didn't go to work that day. Other people also didn't go to work that day as well. You'll see people just sitting around. Okay. So that would be a defense of Rav Shimon Gamliel. In other words, then why by Shema? He does not want the chassan to say Shema. That's mechzi kiyura, but just simply stopping from a day of work, that's not mechzi kiyura. Okay. Back to Erev Pesach.
But it's
very interesting. Contemporary poskim go the other way nowadays, and they say that nowadays it's a miracle if we have kavana. So, so they. Right, the chassan has to say Shema. Nowadays, we say we go the other way. We say the chassan does say Shema. Okay. V'chachamim omrim b'Yehuda hayu osin malacha bar v'psachim ad chatzos v'galil lo hayu osin kol ikar. Now, we go back to the beginning of the parak. Remember what we learned. On Erev Pesach, after midday, after chatzos, there's a din. Nobody does malacha. Now again, is a malacha not like Yantav, not like Shabbos. It's a little bit more like Chol HaMoed. In the afternoon of Erev Pesach, we don't do malacha. What about the morning of Erev Pesach? So the Mishnah said, depends. Some have the minhag to do and some have the minhag not to do. Now, this Mishnah over here takes us all the way back to the first Mishnah. It's kind of like a full circle. And now this Mishnah tells us, basically, we're going to divide Israel in half, the north and the south. Right, I just spent 2 weeks in Georgia. Right? We always stop by Civil War Civil War battles. It's, you know, one of our hobbies as a family. It's a strange hobby, but in other words, we're going to take Eretz Yisrael. We're going to divide it in the north from the south, and basically the Gullah versus Yehuda. Yehuda is the south, and the Gullah is the north. And basically, what the Mishnah is telling us is that's where we draw the line in terms of the Minhagim in Yehuda, meaning the south. So they would do Malach and Erev Pesach until Chatzos. And in the Galil in the north, lo hayu osin kol ikar. They would not do work at all on Erev Pesach, meaning already in the morning, they would abstain from doing work on Erev Pesach in the north. So now we know, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, then the Bizmana Mishnah, Bizmana Gemara, so you lived in Yerushalayim, so interestingly enough, they were more mekel in Yerushalayim. They would do work in the morning. And then if you lived up north, you lived up in Tzfas or anywhere else up in the north, in Tveria, so then you would not be doing work already in the morning. Now, that minhag covers the morning. Does the minhag also cover the night prior? That's a machlokas. Halayla, beishamay osrim uveithilam matirim ad anitzachama. So the night prior, now by the way, we're not talking about Yehuda, because in Yehuda you're allowed to do work all the way up until midday. We are now describing the Gullo. In the Gullo where they stop working already in the morning, did that also include the night prior? So Beit Shammai says yes. And it's interesting, by the way, look carefully at the wording of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says it's aser, which is a very strong way to describe it. I mean, we're talking about a minug, but Beit Shammai says it's aser. And Beis Hillel says, no, it's much. You're allowed to do work, and you're even allowed to do work up until Netzachama, up until sunrise.
So that doesn't mean that Beis Hillel agrees with the Galil?
Right. I'm also like struggling with this. Meaning, he doesn't agree with the Galil. He's just simply saying, if you live in the Galil, this is where, this is when you stop working. But in other words, I know we get thrown off by these terms, Aser and Mutter. Right, which are strange terms to use to describe a minhag. Okay. I don't think he's agreeing with the Galil. He's just simply saying that if you live in the Galil, so then you can work up until Netzacham, up until sunrise. Now, Mi'ikara, Tana Minhago, Sof Tana Yisura. Okay, and basically the Gemara picks up on the strong language of the Mishnah. Meaning, we're talking about a minhag. We know we're talking about a minhag. And then the Mishnah ends off by saying, Aser. Now again, it's Beis Shammai, but still, just even the term Aser seems to be very strangely placed. So I'm Rav Yochanan lo kasha harei mimer her Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says it's okay. In other words, the terminology of Iser fits into one Tana, meaning the Tana. Let's get the background information. I'm Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says be Yehuda. Don't get confused. Meaning there's Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. And then there's the province of Yehuda. That's the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. Be Yehuda, you osen malacha bar v'psachim ad chatzos, uvegalal einan osen kol ikar. So that's Rav Yehuda, which, by the way, is our Mishnah, basically. In Yehuda, they would do malacha until chatzos. In the Galil, they wouldn't do malacha at all on the morning, on the day of the 14th. Amal Rebbe Meir Maraya Yehuda v'galal lekan ela makav shenagu lasos malachos and makav shenagu shalalasos ein osin. And Rebbe Meir argues with Rebbe Yehuda. He says, look, wherever the minhag is, there's a minhag. Wherever there's no minhag, there's no minhag. So midakam Rebbe Meir minhaga. Now, if Rebbe Meir is using terminology of minhag, mechlal de Rebbe Yehuda isurik amar. It sounds like what Rebbe Yehuda is holding is that it's more than just minhag, it's stronger than minhag, it's iser, meaning it's iser v'heter, it's a din. V'sav Rav Yehuda arba'asar mutar b'asiyas malacha. Now, it comes out that according to Rav Yehuda, on the 14th day you're allowed to do malacha, v'hatan Rav Yehuda omer ha-menachish b'shosh asar. We have a braisa that describes the following scenario. Let's say 13th day of Nisan, okay? There's no iser to do work. And what are you doing? You're weeding. You're in your backyard, you're in your field, and you're weeding. The nekra biado, and while you're weeding by accident, one of the grains comes out of the ground, and now you want to plant it back in the ground. Now it's the 13th day of Nisan, so shosla b'makam atitva in shosla b'makam agrid. Put it back into the ground. Now put it back into moist ground, not into dry ground. Now, why moist ground? Meaning, it's so funny, we're so not sensitive to this. Because you want it to take root. If it doesn't take root, you're in big trouble. I mean, you're not in big trouble, but you're gonna lose that grain for a year. Because we know that in 3 days from now, meaning the 16th day of Nisan, that's the Omer. That's the Karban Omer. Any grains that took root at that point in time, now becomes mutter. Any grains that don't take root are still going to be considered chadash and won't become mutter until a year from now. So therefore, you're on the 13th day of Nisan, quickly, put it right back in the ground and put it in moist ground so that it has 3 days to take, it has more than 3 days actually, it actually has 4 days, but it has time now to take root into the ground. Fine. So that when the 16th day of Nisan rolls around, it'll be mutter. So, Bishlosha Asar in Ba'arba Asar Lo. Now, notice that what Rabbi Yehuda is there telling you is that this is only true if all this happens on the 13th. But you can't do this if it happens on the 14th. You can't plant it in the ground on the 14th. Now, Michdei. Now, how long does it take something to take root? So 3 days. Okay, that's a statement given to us by Rabbi Yehuda. It takes 3 days for something to take root. Now, it happens to be we're talking about harkava over here. Harkava is grafting, but same basic idea. It takes 3 days for something to take root. Now, the Gemara says now. Easily one can imagine that if you're allowed to work on the 14th day of Nisan, you're good. Meaning, by accident, you uprooted one of the grains, throw it right back into the ground on the 14th, and what do you have? You have the 14th day, the 15th day, and the 16th day of Nisan. Now, granted, you don't have the entirety of the 16th day of Nisan. Okay, but you got 3 days. Not three full days, but you got 3 days. Why is it that Rabbi Yehuda is only describing a scenario where I'm weeding on the 13th day of Nisan? So what the Gemara is now arguing is it must be because there's an Issur Melacha on the 14th day, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm a Rava, so the Gemara answers, it's very simple. What do you know? You're reading too much into Rabbi Yehuda. I'm a Rava Begal Shanu. So first of all, Rava says, could be that we're just describing in the Galo, where, as we already learned, there's an Issur Melacha on the entire day, on the entirety of the 14th. That could be that's resolution number one, a really simple resolution. Va'ika Laila, the Gemara says, okay, but what about the fact that there is the night? I'm Rav Sheshes ke Beis Shammai. Well, maybe we're holding like Beis Shammai, where Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to do Melacha even on the night prior. Or another simple resolution is that we're holding like Beis Hillel, but people don't weed during the night. Ravina Amar La'olam Yehuda Uve Hashrasha Chad Mixas Hayom Kekula Aminan Trey Mixas Hayom Kekula Lo Aminan. Or another way to explain it is that really we're in Yehuda, and you're allowed to do Malach on the 14th. And why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda describe a scenario where you're weeding on the 14th? Because even if you plant on the 14th, you don't really have 3 days. Meaning, what do you have? You have only part of the 14th. You have the entire 15th day of Nisan, and you only have part of the 16th. So you don't have 3 full days. You don't even have 2 full days. All you have is part of the 14th, part of the 16th, all the 15th. That's not enough. Meaning when we say you need 3 days, you at least need 2 full days, and a little bit of the third day. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda wasn't describing a scenario of weeding and planting on the 14th day of Nisan. Okay, and let's just finish up quickly. Let's do the next Mishnah and next Gemara. And now, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Malacha Shiyitzchol Ba Kodem La'Arba Asar, Gomra Abba Arba Asar. Now, we said that you're allowed to do Malacha on the 14th day of Nisan. Now, again, in the Gala, they had the Minag not to do it at all, zero. But in Yehuda, you could do Malacha at least in the morning of. Any Malacha? So the Mishnah is basically going to say, no. Not any malacha. You're allowed to finish projects. So as long as you started the project before, so you could finish it on the 14th day of Nisan. But Rabbi Meir says, but to start a project on the 14th day of Nisan, even though you know you're going to finish it, that you can't do. The Chachamim say three professionals are allowed to work on Erev Pesach, and they are Chayatim, tailors, Safarim, barbers, Kovsim, launderers. And Rabbi Yehuda adds also the shoemaker as well. Okay, now ibaylu letzorcha moed tanan aval shalol letzorcha moed afilo migmar namilo odilma shalol letzorcha moed tanan aval letzorcha tchule matchilinan odilma ben letzorcha moed ben shalol letzorcha moed migmar in itchule la. Now, what our mission talks about projects, but when we say projects, we mean projects that you need for yantiv. Or no. Our Mishnah is only talking about projects that you don't need for Yantiv. But if it's a project that I need specifically for Yantiv, so then I could do it even on the 14th day of Nisan. So can we make, basically the Gemara is asking, can we make any type of distinction between projects that are meant for Yontif? Or no, our mission is only talking about projects that are not meant for Yontif. Tashma. Avalo yaskal betchilas barba asar afilu tzilsokatan afilu shivacha kitana. We have a brisa, and the brisa says you can't start even the smallest of projects. Meaning, let's say you want to make a small belt. You can't do that on Erev Pesach. Let's say you want to make a small hairnet for women. You can't do that on Erev Pesach. My afilu lav, now it says not even. So afilu hani de l'tzorach hamoed migmar in et chul elav. Mechlal de shalol l'tzorach migmar na melo gamrinan. Now it sounds like even if it's for Yontif, I can't finish it. Now, if it's not for Yontif, maybe the argument you can make is I can't even start it. The Gemara says, "Lo, la'olam d'shalot tzarech migmar nami gamrina." No, even if it's not for Yontif, if I start a project, I can finish it on Erev Pesach. And my afilu afilu hani nami d'zutrin into the sakadat chamina ha'tchalasan zui gemar malachta nischa v'hu nami lechatchila kamash malan. The afilu means, look, these are really small projects, a small belt, a small hairnet. Look, I'm going to start, I'm going to finish it. It takes me 20 minutes to finish one. I won't have a problem. What the Bryce is teaching us is that I cannot start any project, even a small project, on Erev Pesach. Tashma. We're in the last line of Nun Hamed Aleph. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Malacha Shehi L'Tzorach HaMoed Gomra Ba'arba Asar. Amasai bizman shehischo ba konam arba asar, v'lo hischo ba konam arba asar, lo yascho ba arba asar, afilu tzilsokatan, afilu shevacha ketana, litzarech, I'm sorry, afilu shevacha ketana. Afilu shevacha ketana. All right, so basically, again, same basic idea. I can't start a project on the 14th day of Nisan, but I can finish a project. I can't even start small things like the belt and the hairnet. Now, letzorach hamoed in, letzorach hamoed lo. It sounds like that I'm making projects only for Yontif. But if the project was not meant for Yontif, I can't even finish it on the 14th. The Gemara again deflects. The Gemara says, "No, who adin dafilu shalot tzarach nami gamrinan va'akamash malan dafilu tzarach hamoed migmar in itchule lo." Again, the point of the brisa could just very simply be, look, even if I'm doing it for Yontif, I'm not allowed to start projects on the 14th. Tashma, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Kol Malacha, Shehi L'Tzarech HaMoed, Gomra, Ba'arba Asar. Now here the brisa is very clear. Meaning earlier, the past two brisas we kind of deflected, this brisa is very clear. If it's for Tzarech HaMoed, if I'm making it for Yontif, so then I could finish projects. So v'sheinu l'tzarach hamoed asar, but if it's not for Yontif, I can't even finish a project. I mean, we could really stop right here. Meaning, it's clear from this brisa that there is a distinction between projects that I'm making for Yontif versus projects that are not for Yontif, and the delineation is if it's for Yontif, I can finish the project. I can't start it, but I can finish it. If it's not for Yontif, I can't even finish it. Okay, let's just finish the brisa. Va'osim malacha bar v'psachim ad chatzos b'makom shenagu. Makom shenagu in lo nagu lo. Ushma mina l'tzarach hamoed in shalo l'tzarach hamoed lo shma mina. So the Gemara says it's clear. It is clear from this brisa that the only projects I'm allowed to finish on the 14th day of Nisan, only projects that are A, I already started, and B, meant for Yontif, are going to be used on Yontif. Okay, finishing up now. V'chachamim omrim shalosh omnias tana chayaten shekein hedyo tofer kedarka b'chol shamoed. First of all, why sewing? Because on chol hamoed, a non-professional is allowed to sew on chol hamoed. Hasaparim v'akovsin shekein abam medina siyam v'yotzim mibeis asur misapim mekafsim b'chol shamoed. Under certain circumstances, you're allowed to get a haircut in chol hamoed, and you're allowed to clean your clothing on chol hamoed. Under certain circumstances, well, we get to Moed Katan, we'll talk about what those circumstances are. But so therefore, if there's a heter to do in a Chol HaMoed, there's also a heter to do so on Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amir Afar, Atzanim, Shekein, Ole, Regalim, Mitaknim, Min Aleim, Becholo Shomoed. Those who are walking to and from Yerushalayim are allowed to fix their shoes. So because there's a heter to fix your shoes on Chol HaMoed, so therefore, you're allowed to fix them on Erev Pesach as well. But my kamifligi mar saver lamein tchilas malacha misof malacha, or mar saver ein lamein tchilas malacha misof malacha. So because the Tanakhama who disagrees with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, they say, look, even though that's true, but that doesn't mean that you're allowed to do it on Erev Pesach. Okay, Ad Kan. All right, we'll pause over here. We'll start tomorrow from the Mishnah. So again, today finished up our discussion of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is just like Yom Kippur with a couple of exceptions, and then we moved on to the discussion, back to the discussion of doing Malacha on Erev Pesach. We talked about the Gullah versus Yehuda, and what stores can be opened up on Erev Pesach.